one thing you must always keep in mind. You and I, we all are, we're being played constantly. They are way the hell ahead of us. They've been planning this, according to Bobby Malone, gaming it for over 20 years. I've been saying that for, well, since this thing started, that these people have supercomputers with AI now, and they can game anything and come out with a virtual certainty on the response of the sheep at large and the other groups that may not be quite as routine. They know what's going on. They've run these things through simulation after simulation, and they know we're being gamed all the time. One of the people who isn't an easy mark at being gamed is Erica Kahn. I think so, anyway. Are you there, Erica?
I'm here, Jeff.
You're nobody's fool. We at this program, I think more than any other perhaps radio program, really stick ourselves out there for you, trying to find out the most logical, pragmatic approach to things. We don't claim to have the whole truth. Hell, we don't even really know what's in these damn bioweapon shots yet completely. We have an idea. We do know they're adding things to it. Just for fun, the spike protein, named and called by Dr. Chetty, the most evil, deadly thing ever created by mankind. He's right. But the actual vials not only contain the protein spike, but now there's another protein in there that is not listed. It's bigger than the spike, and we don't know what it does. Any guesses?
Well, let's be clear. That was detected, not detected. It was advertised in the Pfizer vaccine.
They put it right there. Yeah, they did.
And nobody's been able to identify what type of protein it is and what its function is.
Nobody's even raising hell and demanding to know. Where are the congressmen and women and those others? This is ridiculous. We have no government.
You know, they're getting away with it because it is still technically a phase, large-scale phase three trial.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't have to tell you.
It's also EUA, which is sort of the same thing.
Give them all kinds of liberties, yes.
And they're taking them. Now, when, and I think the UK was first and people were shocked, the UK dropped all mask requirements, all social distancing. They dropped it. Did anybody ask why? Did anybody try to figure out the reason? Because there was a reason. And now others are doing the same thing. And we offered, we can talk scientifically and say we posited, that they did it for the reason that is most obvious. They want people to get back together, the vaxxed and the unvaxxed. They want them no longer to worry about anything. Shedding or transmitting is not a problem. So let's get them all back together. Why would they want to do that, Erica?
Because they know that these vaccines shed. And this is a very convenient, sly way of making sure the unvaxxed get their dose.
Make no mistake about what she just said. That is exactly why they did it, and that exactly explains why it will be done here before too much longer. They want the vaxxed mingling with the unvaxxed. Hug your neighbors. Who was it that said that? Love is the answer. Hug your neighbors.
I think a lot of people have said it.
Oh, there was one particular person. What an ass to say that. It's just truly a jackass. This is nuts. We know shedding is real. We have so many accounts from people who have been shed upon. Now, I talked to somebody recently, and this person had a relative, I think it was a nephew, come to visit and stayed for a period of time, like 4 or 5 weeks. I'm just guessing, can't recall exactly. And this person told me that from the day that the nephew who was shot up got there, none of the family was shot up, but the nephew came to visit. They, especially the person who told me this, was sick. They were all sick eventually. And when that nephew left, let's say 5-6 weeks later, they all got better. Just being in the same general location with someone who has been shot up was enough to make a whole family sick. Fortunately, they're okay now.
Yeah, I've heard many stories like that in social media.
I'll bet you've read hundreds.
Hundreds. They're common. They're common.
Right. Now, unfortunately, some of the results of being shed upon... Gosh, I have a funny feeling that you could say it another way, similarly, and get the same idea across. Shed upon, transmitted upon, have been severely damaged to the extent that some have died. Some have been permanently injured. In other words, they have been terribly harmed by just being around the vaxxed. So when your local administration follows along with the government or your state government, no more vax masks, no more vax social distancing, don't worry about it, everything's fine, don't do it. I would suggest I wear a mask all the time when I'm out. I don't care what anyone thinks. I'll take that little, let's say it's a 5% buffer that I have. I'll take it. I see people coughing. So do you.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them have been shot up. And they are exuding. They are shedding constantly. Constantly. Now, you've been impacted by that.
Yeah, I believe I was. This was early on before this was really being talked about. And it wasn't bad, but I did notice some unusual changes,
right,
or symptoms. But
that's enough.
But as soon
that's,
as I heard it. About it, yeah. I modified my behavior significantly.
Yeah. The safest path to follow is stay away from crowds of people. Don't go to these big conferences where all the so-called COVID oracles are going to speak, because first of all, they're going to say the same damn things over and over again. There's nothing new. Many of them copy each other all the time. Many of them are also paid by the deep state. They're disinformation professionals. So
yep.
Don't go there. Look, we tried to warn the people about Bard's Fest. It was a year ago almost in St. Louis. And what happened, Erica? What happened?
After the fact, there were reports of at least 30 people who got very sick and two or three people who actually died.
And Sherry Tenpenny, for example, a name you all know, was sick for weeks and sounded and looked terrible in several of her programs. She finally got better and looks much better now, but she was very sick. So was this just by virtue of being in a room full of people, some of whom were vaxxed, or was there an effort made to spread something in an aerosolized sense to make people sick? Don't know.
We'll never know.
You've got to... Go ahead.
I think some people... I've heard this said by many people, or a few people, you know, that claim to be experts in this field, and I have to take issue with it. There's some idea that by being exposed to the spike protein and when you're not vaxxed is somehow beneficial in that
That's
you're building
insane.
Immunity without actually getting... you know, the injection.
Completely
the
insane.
The difference is that this protein is toxic to the point of being allergenic. So when you finally do react to it immunologically, the reaction is not a favorable one.
Don't
and
mince words.
And this is what goes on to cause the clotting and the microcirculation dysfunction and just the
terrible
overwhelming
shingles,
inflammation.
Pain.
Well, that's another aspect of it.
Neurological issues.
That's probably the microRNAs that are being transmitted along with the spike protein from these people who have been vaxxed. So these exosomes that are coming off these people who have been vaxxed are full of other things besides spike protein that are going to alter your immune response. I mean, we had that paper, the abstract of that paper that has since been suppressed, citing a molecule called URA-3665, which is present in the vaccines, and accumulates to toxic levels in the unvaxxed. So we don't know what it is. We could speculate that it's some kind of microRNA that's altering your immune function, your immune response, your immune defense.
Do you understand?
So
that
I would not take
want,
this.
They want,
I wouldn't
they want
take
you,
the shedding thing casually.
No, they
and
want you dead.
I can't see any benefit to being around it.
No benefit, zero. They want you dead. Okay.
I mean, once you're allergic to something, you're allergic to it forever until you can somehow desensitize to yourself to it. But typically, that's lifelong. Once you've established that immune response, it's lifelong, and it won't take much to provoke the response in the future.
Mm-mm. All right, we have some video clips. What do you want to start with, Fleming? Get him done, and then go on to your friend Roger. What do you want to do?
Yeah, that's fine. Just both of these guys. I support the concept of the shedding, which I'm surprised that Roger Hodgkinson weighed in on this. He held back for a long time.
Roger has made a lot of progress.
Yes,
He, I think, realizes that they will sacrifice anyone and cause trouble for anyone who doesn't play along. And I get the feeling that he doesn't like to play along like that. He's more of an independent thinker. So is Richard Fleming. Here is Richard Fleming. Let's hear what he has to say about shedding. Anything you want to add before I play this? It's a short clip.
Go ahead.
All right. Oh, I got an ad. Hold on. 3, 2, 1. Okay.
News for you. In 1995, we knew about shedding from viruses. This is written on the website.
But wait, Erica. In 1995, from the document Dr. Richard Fleming, PhD, MD, JD held up, he said we knew about shedding from viruses, but Erica, there are no viruses.
Right.
Okay, and I hope all of you heard our last program, and if you didn't, it's up there to be listened to. And let me just take a little bit of time here, a minute or two. Dr. Andy Kaufman seems to be leading the parade now. When he first surfaced, he made a few very good points, but then he ran off the rails, and we don't know what happened to him. But he is singing an entirely different tune now, and a lot of people have become disciples. And we urge all of you not to become disciples of anybody. Keep thinking. As soon as you think you've found the answer, you're out of the game of learning. I found the answer. Don't bother me with the facts. My mind is made up.
Yeah, this is a really dangerous, I think, cult that's beginning.
It's an absolute cult. It's like the flat earth. It's a cult.
It's a Scientology type of thing, because I know everybody wants to believe that there's nothing to worry about. I mean, we'd all like nothing more than to go back to normal and not have to think about this stuff. But, you know, if you choose to ignore it, I think you know, you're overlooking a weapon that is being used against you at this point.
Right now, how many viruses have been fully sequenced to date? Fully genetically sequenced.
11,464. Fully sequenced, which means we've got the recipe and we can create them chemically.
And people have actually made viruses in the lab synthetically.
Yes, infectious viruses. Yes.
So 11,460 what?
11,464.
So, of course, that doesn't exist in the real world if you're an antiviral cultist. So all I can say is good luck to you. You have that right. And one person grumbled that I mentioned that the formerly nearly bald Andy Kaufman has a very nice looking toupee. And I said, that's a mighty fine looking toupee you got there, Andy. And it is. And what's wrong with complimenting someone? Huh? Somebody gets a facial cosmetic surgery. What's wrong with saying, hey, you look terrific now? I have no problem with either facial surgery or toupees. Don't bother me any. But that's another story. So, look, there are people out there who, for one reason or another, are pushing agendas. Okay? They're being paid to do it. They've been threatened, some of them. They enjoy the celebrity. And there's a lot of celebrity. Everybody wants to be a star now. And if you end up with two Porsches on top of everything else, you're doing pretty well. So whatever the truth is, I don't have the whole truth, but I do know that we are being conned and played nonstop. And you people out there are among the relative handful on this planet who really understand that. So let's go back.
I have to ask yourself why this movement or this agenda of no virus is suddenly taking on extraordinary momentum right about now.
Who's pushing it? The owned, controlled mainstream media. Owned by whom? Six corporations. Own all of it. It's a piece of cake to drown the public with lies and disinformation. And if you repeat the lie often enough, people accept it. It's human nature. They have no alternative to go to except this program and maybe a couple of others. And believe it, Erica works very hard on this all the time. And we know what we're talking about here. Do we have all the answers? No. And anyone that tells you they do should be run from immediately. Run. Don't stay there.
Yeah, I mean, someone that is trying to upend an entire field of discipline, well-established field of discipline. You've got to wonder, you know, when offering no alternative. Viruses don't exist? All right, well, how do you explain the last 100 years of research? I mean, if they didn't exist, we would not be at this place where we are right now.
And the biosafety labs?
Correct.
Where they create death weaponry out of viruses and bacteria.
That's exactly right.
Okay. So there we go. All right, let's go back and listen to, again, the beginning of this, if I can cue it back up. There we go. Dr. Fleming, here we go. All right.
In 1995, we knew about shedding from viruses. This is written on the website. This is a 2021 document from the Japanese data on Pfizer. It shows the virus, the vaccinated components, in all the body organs within hours, not just at the site of injection. This is the paper that they're talking about, some of the doctors in the media, about the Harvard study showing that within hours we see virus particles going around the body. I found that fascinating, but not as fascinating as the second part that nobody's talking about. that from a vaccine that only carries the spike protein, it's making antibodies to the nuclear capsid, which is another part of the virus that's not supposedly in the vaccines. You can't make antibodies to something not in your body. So my question is, what's in the vaccines that you're not only making antibodies to the spike protein, but to the nucleocapsid, because their data shows, and that's the key, I think, to this paper, is that there's antibodies to the nucleocapsid. These vaccines must have more in it than just the spike protein, which we're going to see in a moment. And that's not the only paper you should know about, because in 2017, Moderna published a paper using lipid nanoparticles on the influenza vaccine, and it showed that in the animals tested, their lipid nanoparticle vaccine spread into the brain, the bone marrow, the liver, the spleen, and the muscle site where it was injected. 2017, brought to you by Moderna. It also doesn't explain the fact that if shedding doesn't exist, Health and Human Services and the FDA went to a lot of effort to issue a guidance to the industry in August of 2015 when they issued a document on shedding from viral and bacterial vaccines to the industry and how to test for it. They didn't spend this type of money and time to test for something that they didn't know and exist. This is their document. It's on the website. It also doesn't explain one other important thing. Remember those prion-like diseases we talked about? Your DNA belongs inside of your nucleus or your mitochondria. Your RNA belongs inside of your cells. If your body doesn't see it, it's not a part of your body. Your immune system doesn't see your genetic code because it's not outside of your cells. RNA, outside of your cells, is a prion. The vaccines contain mRNA. Any leakage of that material produces a prion-like disease.
Any leakage of that material produces a prion-like disease. In other words, your brain is going to turn into Swiss cheese and you will die. A prion-like disease. Call it what you want. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, there are actually more cases now since this injection has been rolled out of people suddenly being diagnosed with Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease.
Yep. CJD.
Within a couple of weeks, I mean, these people are reporting that obviously they're reporting for someone they know, their loved ones or family member, but it comes on fast, and there's no cure.
When CJD first came out, it was with Mad Cow, of course, in the UK. They eventually came up with CJD, VCJD for variant Creutzfeldt-Jakob, and then VCJD. What was the other one? There was another one. There were three. Now, they were all different enough to have a different name, but they all did the same thing. They destroyed the brain. So if
That's
these
correct.
Things
yeah.
leak,
so,
leak, yep.
I mean, these prion diseases can arise from within spontaneously, and then they can also be acquired through presumably eating infected meat. Or the other possibility is when one animal eats its own kind, or a human eats its own kind, as in kuru.
As in cannibalism.
As in cannibalism, yes.
As is hungry people looking for food.
Yeah, as in McDonald's hamburgers being tainted with human DNA.
And over 500 cows per patty. And I remember the gentleman who was a worker in the slaughterhouse in Washington State when they had the first alleged case of mad cow discovered here. I had him on the program. What did he say? Yeah, I pulled the cow off the truck. I had to use the backhoe. We slaughtered it. It had CJD. Had mad cow. TSE, BSE, too many labels. Bovine spongiform encephalopathy. Now, I asked the guy, how often do you see cattle in that condition? All the time, he said. He lost his job, was never rehired in the industry, to the best of my knowledge, after coming on the program and telling the truth. So how lucky do you feel? All right. Here's Dr. Roger Hodgkinson. 2 minutes and 41 seconds worth. Are the vaccinated a threat to those who declined the vax? Any setup on this one?
Nope. Just roll it.
Well, the terrible response to that is nothing has happened, despite the significance of it. And that, of course, is just one symptom of this whole mess. All kinds of unknowns are out there that should have been investigated thoroughly before this was ever started, and never was, and isn't now. To my knowledge, there are no formal studies going on regarding contagious vaccinosis, which, by the way, was not my term. I forget who coined it. But it reflects the transmission of something, we're not sure, from a vaccinated person to an unvaccinated person, usually by close proximity. And the transmission, largely reported in women, of menstrual abnormalities, but also a few cases, one of which I'm very aware of in Britain, of testicular involvement. So the sad reality is we don't know. There's all kinds of plausibility to the connection, which I could elaborate on scientifically. This isn't just some quackery, you know, right. some absurd theory. There's a great deal of science behind the worry about this. And we all hope, of course, like everything when it's investigated, we all hope it's not true. But the general reason we do clinical trials is precisely because we don't know what we don't know. That's why we do them. And particularly when something that's so experimental, that has so many potential dangers, that you'd have thought that given the scale with which this massive experiment is being conducted, with billions of people and pregnant women and children, you would have thought that someone would have said, hey, wait a minute, just stop the train, you know. We've got to do this, 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 and this before we do anything. Because this, of course, is not Ebola. It's not SARS. In the grand scheme of things, it's nothing more than a bad seasonal flu, as per John Ioannidis, probably the most esteemed epidemiologist in the world at Stanford. So they've been notoriously delinquent at every step along the way in this process, not the least of which is putting in place an effective monitoring system for what they're doing.
Okay. No one's tracking this. No one's checking this. There's absolutely no question that something is being spread. Probably many some things are being spread person to person and infesting them. I won't say infecting, but they're infesting them, and the results are there. Were you able to pull off any short little clips from your
yes.
sources? Okay.
Yeah, I guess you haven't got them. I got them here.
Let me check and see. Now, okay, that said, now we're going to have to step into a little bit of touchy ground here. I'll do it. There are people out there who are getting a wide viewing audience, but who really don't have the deep scientific background and the depth that they would like you to think they have. Now, I'm not going to name any names in particular, but I want you to listen now to a few minutes of a program. Now, this is Dr. Jane Ruby, very well known, cited by a lot of people, but I want you to listen to this and tell me, what did she just say? The title of this is Shedding is Real, but is it dangerous? And the answer is obviously, hell yes. Let's just take a listen to this now.
Dr. Jane Ruby Show, I delve into the mysteries of shedding. What we know so far. What is it? How dangerous is it? And what can we do about it? And in the second segment, I take a look at the music industry's efforts to stop the bioweapon disaster and how the songs are reaching people. They're also reaching number one on the charts, including the number one country gospel song, Hold the Line, and the song I wrote with Nashville singer-songwriter Sean Galloway. He's here to talk to us about it. And in the last segment, I drop the truth about medical conflicts of interest rising up, and I'm naming names in this pandemic grifter fest. This is the Dr. Jane Ruby Show, and you're about to enter Truth in Medicine.
Okay, I got to skip past the opening here. Okay.
Welcome back. Shedding, the transfer of something injected from those who took the jab to those who did not. Is it real? People report symptoms of illness after exposure or close contact with the injected. I've experienced it myself, and it's the same each time, and it takes me hours to sometimes a day to really get the symptoms to subside. So what's really happening? Whoever heard of a contagious shot? And it all goes back to the question about what's in these shots. We know it's not good, but we're getting there. Day by day, we're getting more information, and I think we can offer a little bit of hope. It all stems from the God-given gift of healing, our natural ability, our bodies, the wonder of our bodies, and how it's always working, the body is always working to protect us. So let's start by taking a look at what we think it is, right? I want to start with the first picture here is the Pfizer protocol. Now, along with protocols, there's also something called an investigator's brochure that these companies put out to prospective researchers. Before I went into the pharmaceutical industry, I was an independent researcher. I ran a human trial lab, and I ran studies like this for pharmaceutical companies. These were called multi-center trials. All the data is pooled from all the sites across the United States, sometimes including other sites outside of the United States. But there's an investigator's brochure for prospective investigators, and this was what Pfizer put out. There's a section where they indicate, this is where you know it's not in somebody's imagination. There is a transfer of something. They say a male family member or healthcare provider who's been exposed to the study intervention by inhalation or skin contact. That's where I'm getting the symptoms of inhalation and skin contact. They put it in their own documentation. Then exposes his female partner prior to or around the time of conception. Then goes on to say, here's the shedding three picture, in case of a live birth, like if the person is of childbearing age and then she gets pregnant, she's not jabbed but the partner is, the structural integrity of the neonate, so cold, isn't it, can be assessed at the time of birth. In the event of termination, the reasons for termination should be specified. In other words, or the integrity of the terminated fetus should be assessed by gross visual inspection. What they're basically saying is you've got to report this as an adverse event, a serious adverse event, especially if there's damage to the fetus. So they knew without testing it in animals, preclinical studies, to make sure there aren't any dangers to developing fetus. Instead, they're just saying, hey, if you see it, write it up. I mean, so very dangerous. So we do know that something is transferred. We do know that something goes from the injected to the uninjected. Let's take a look at what some of these studies have shown us. We have, before we get to the picture of shedding by inhalation, I want to share with you a couple of studies that have just recently come out. One is called a novel graphene quantum dot-based mRNA delivery platform. Now, remember, there's...
Well, what did she just say, Erica?
We're going going to look at a study involving a vaccine with a graphene.
I'll play it again. I've never heard those words strung together like that.
Before we get to the picture of shedding by inhalation, I want to share with you a couple of studies that have just recently come out. One is called a novel graphene quantum dot-based mRNA delivery platform. Now, remember, there's a lot of stuff in these vials. We've already had tons of people, teams, experts share with us that in the adjuvant, there's polyethylene glycol. There have been countless demonstrations of graphene in many different forms. Graphene shapes, graphene discs. We've got toxic poisons. We've got garbage from the floor. The Japanese sent back batches when they found they were contaminated and just had junk in them.
Graphene discs?
Yeah, I mean, graphene can come in various shapes and sizes.
But what we've got here is we're putting pieces together. A novel graphene quantum-based mRNA delivery platform. And what they basically say is that these graphene quantum dots, remember, this is at the nano level, the atomic level. You're not going to see this without an electron microscope. Our results show that these modified graphene quantum dots can be used, watch this, to deliver intact and functional mRNA to hepatocarcinomic cells. These are cancer cells in the liver at low doses, and that the graphene quantum dots are not toxic when they get there to their destination. But it says, although cellular toxicity is a problem for these first generation modified particles. Okay, so your other cells are going to be poisoned. How are they using this in human beings without our permission? This is the serious problem. Another study. I don't think we have this picture. That's okay. I'll read you the title. Graphene-based nanoplatelets. A new risk to the respiratory system as a consequence of their unusual aerodynamic properties. Remember what I just told you about with the Pfizer document. Inhalation. They know. God, they know what they're doing. They know what the dangers are. This is criminal intent. The shedding clearly occurs through aerosolization. There's an aerodynamic quality to this graphene. Now, let's go to the pic, shedding by inhalation process. You see in this picture the graphene nanoplatelet exposure, these aerosol particles, by virtue of just their size, and they get into the lungs. And then in the middle part of the picture, what you're seeing here is these particles get into the lungs. The lungs are going to react. I've explained this where the lung becomes very inflamed. The body knows that something's very wrong, and so you get white cells. You get white cells that are going to the site to attack whatever this foreign thing is. And so you have what's called frustrated phagocytosis. It's trying to kill it. It's trying to break it down, but it's a foreign matter, and it's not organic, right? It's this graphene. So you get a ton of inflammation in the lungs, and then you have here, ROS is reactive oxidative species. That's a very huge inflammatory response. This is where you're getting lots of oxidation. Pro-inflammatory cytokine activation. So you've got these cytokine cascades, these signaling for huge amounts of inflammation. And this is what happens. This is the primary. You're not going to escape aerosolization. You're not going to escape. What are you going to do, walk around and not breathe? I mean, these particles are at the nanoatomic level. You're not going to block them with any mask. These are way smaller than viruses. And viruses are way smaller than bacteria. If viruses are like going, like mosquitoes going through a chain link fence, then these nanoparticles are like going through just chain link fence where the inner opening are 3 feet wide. You get my point? So
I didn't get the point. I mean, I don't know what I missed there, but I listened to the two videos prior to this, and I understood what they were saying, but I'm having trouble following this. I'm not knocking anybody here. I'm just pointing out that sometimes things are not presented as succinctly as they might be for people to understand the danger of shedding.
I did not hear one iota of useful information in there. If I was legitimately wanted to know what's being shed, how is it being shed, how is it affecting me, there's nothing there.
Well, the
I mean, citing two papers that are unrelated to the current vaccine?
I don't understand who put this together or why, but the poor lady also had her nose itched. She went to her nose 9 times with the back of her hand, rubbing it. So I guess if your nose itches, that can be a real bother. That would be a nightmare if I was on TV and my nose itched. But what is she saying? What is she saying?
Is it coming from an injected person? I haven't quite put that together yet, but it looks like Pfizer's warning potential investigators that it can. Okay. So let's look at the next two pictures. The first one is the blood of an injected person. Now, we've seen many different versions of the blood of an injected person. We've seen all kinds of things in there. We've seen the discs.
Okay, we got to stop. That's just another venue out there that you all have access to. But the point is, when you pick your way through these things, you've got to be on your toes. And I think Erica's comment, I would share it, not because she's here with me, but I didn't understand anything of value that was spoken.
No, this is completely irrelevant. I mean, I think she's insinuating somehow that it's the graphene that's being shed. Well, let's look at some, you know, actual published research. I would cite the recent paper that Stephanie Seneff and Peter McCullough wrote. It's a well-referenced paper of quite a bit of the existing research on the vaccines, the mRNA vaccines, Pfizer, Moderna. And they go into great detail as to what could be shed. And they give references, 215 references in this paper. It's extraordinary. Now, if people calling themselves doctors would take the time to read this stuff, they might be able to offer the public something of value.
So, when we started the program, you heard and saw the doctor holding up study after study. These are hardcore studies explaining how transmission works. What we just heard in 15 minutes or so didn't answer any significant questions except, well, gosh, there's graphene oxide. There is aerosolization. Kind of things we knew about. So anyhow, it's a jungle out there, and you've got to be very careful about how you invest your time and your care. It's your life, and you're going to be placed around other people now who are shedding. With no mask, no social distancing, get together, go to the bar, go to the ball game. And, you know, that's a freedom, and we have that right. But you have to be careful about how you expose yourself to people who are shedding. It's that simple. Now, here's
a real quickie.
Go ahead.
It appears to me, you know, we're over a year into this now since they initially rolled out these injections, and I think just about everybody, by now, unless you're living in a cave, has probably had some experience with a, we'll call it a transmission event, where, you just know, you don't feel right, you have weird symptoms.
Sure.
You know, if it's not so bad, it probably goes away in a day. But some people, they're in situations where they have to be around vax people constantly, and they're really suffering. I mean, we have these young kids that required blood transfusions after spending time with a vaxxed, women losing pregnancies, having stillbirths. Roger Hodgkinson mentioned the testicular swelling. That's also a problem. You don't hear too much about it. The heart palpitations, nosebleeds, definitely the shingles. So there's some aspect of the immune suppressive aspect of these vaccines that's being transmitted to the unvaxxed. Those are really concerning symptoms.
Yes, they
are.
And
we know from this very lengthy paper that Stephanie Seneff wrote with Peter McCullen. I should mention there's two other individuals there, too, Greg Nye and Anthony Kiriakopoulos. Put quite a bit of effort into this paper and to posit how the mRNA is adversely affecting the immune response, the immune system. And they go into some detail as to what's being shed there in these exosomes. And they've done the studies in vitro where they actually infect the cells with the spike protein, with the SARS virus, so that the cells begin to produce the spike protein, and it's released from the cells in exosomes. But it's not just the spike protein. There are other RNAs in there, microRNAs, together with the spike protein. And in this one particular experiment, they were able to harvest the exosomes that had been produced from these cells and then reintroduce them to another cell culture with microglial cells. Now, microglial cells are the white blood cells in your brain. And shockingly, these microglial cells readily uptook those exosomes and reacted in a very adverse way. They became highly inflamed. So we're getting somewhere with this, and it's somebody that's conjecturing about nano discs and this other stuff at this stage of the game isn't really putting much effort into educating themselves or the public.
We have a real serious issue that is only going to become more so, and we need the best information, and it's becoming very difficult to find. There are too many people out there presenting themselves as experts. I'm not saying they're not. I'm just saying when you hear material that you have to say, what did that person just say? You're either going to have to go play it again or just move on. There's too much material out there. The bottom line is your best defense against being shed upon or transmitted to by a vaxxed individual is to keep away from them. I know that's not PC in all camps, but you must remember that they do exhale, they are shedding constantly. And if you feel real lucky, have at it. Otherwise, I would suggest wear a mask when you go into a store. Keep a little extra distance. Wash your hands. Nobody wants to get this stuff. Shedding is real, and it has killed people. And it has made a lot of people very, very sick. And that is what they want to happen. That is why they suddenly dropped all mandates, requirements for masks, isolation. They don't want to have to worry about injecting anybody else. They're going to let the injected people do the rest of the spreading. So be alert, be aware. Anything to add here, Erica?
Well, I would just say remember that part of the strategy with this spike protein or exposing people to this spike protein is to cause the person to generate antibodies to that protein that will also cross-react with many proteins in your own body. That's where the disease comes from.
And briefly, remember the spike protein, for some strange reason, has epitopes, we'll call them knockoffs, of your own innate proteins. They're that close that your immune system will build antibodies to attack what's in the spike protein that looks like what's in your body and what's in your body. So your immune system is going to take on your own natural endogenous, correct word?
Yes, protein. So, and proteins. This is also known as losing immune tolerance. Your body loses the ability to distinguish between friend and foe. So it doesn't know that, you know, not to attack your own bodies, on their own proteins, rather.
So that's what's in the spike called epitopes. We've explained that before. And there seem to be more discovered all the time. How did they get there? Very interesting question. We will be back soon. Erica, thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. My pleasure. Have a good evening.
And you too. And we'll be back tomorrow night. And Friday night, Nurse Ann will be back with us here from her heavy duty in the hospital in New York. And she'll bring us up to speed at that point as well, and some other things to add on top of that too. So we'll talk to you tomorrow. Take care.